Folks, remember, you can find us at DramaticCinematic.com. And of course, you can also listen to the show on Stitcher, look us up on iTunes, or you can also find us on Facebook, Dramatic Cinematic. Don't forget to look us up on Twitter, at PC Podcast Crew. Now on to the show. Salutations, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the internet. I am your summer guide to everything fun in the sun. We are laying out on the beach and we are soaking up the rays, ladies and gentlemen. This is our super summer spectacular extravaganza show. I am Mugumbo, just like always, and with me tonight, in a thong and a bikini, is Mr. Mike Wycliffe.
It's writing up a little bit, too, so let's move this on.
And in a spectacular polka-dotted one piece from the West Coast, doing it Pacific Ocean style, Mr. DeMoss.
Do you know where we are?
On the beach.
This is Earth.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, that's a thing this year, apparently.
Super, super duper summer spectacular extravaganza. Summertime. Got me feeling easy. Rallies on the microphone of Ross M. N. G. So.
Yep, because that's the original way that song went.
Yep, that's what our fans have, you know, tuned in for, was to hear me sing off key and make up words as I went along. So. This isn't like a normal show. We're going to be organized and be right to the point.
I thought you just meant the Dramatic Cinematic is not a normal show.
No, this is not like our typical, we watched a movie and we're going to discuss it kind of a thing.
Because I couldn't take any more of the Nude Nuns movies.
What? There was only one.
I know, and it was too much.
We could have easily had more. But no, this is we watched a bunch of trailers and are going to talk about them episode of the show, yes. At least for me.
However, just to finish out the series of incredibly blasphemous movies that we just went through, there is a movie called Easter Casket that just got released, and EasterCasket.com, it's fucked up, but it's funny as hell.
Easter Casket, huh? That sounds blasphemous.
It's the guy that made Puppet Monster Massacre.
Mm. Yes, that's right. He was at Horror Hound last year, or Days of the Dead, my bad.
Yep.
Yes, I imagine whatever he did.
Out on DP now.
Is it a puppet?
It is a puppet. The Easter Bunny is the Antichrist.
Well, as I have sometimes wondered myself. Really.
As the Dead Sea Scrolls predicted.
And there are nude nuns in that one, too.
Well, because they're so hot.
Yeah, right?
Anyway, so that's just to finish out the other, but now we've got summer movies.
We've got there's some comic book movies. Like, I actually saw a list, a graphic up on Facebook, and are they actually talking about doing Black Panther? Or is it?
That has been talked about since Iron Man first came out.
What about
the
Ant-Man?
First Iron Man?
What about
Ant-Man? Before that, they were talking about. Well, Ant-Man. I'd heard Edgar Wright was on tap for that.
That one is happening.
Okay,
that is part of the next phase. Matter of fact, they've recently released all of the Avengers movies to date in a new set that is the briefcase. And on that set, they had a disc with extras that show you what's coming up for, you know, phase two is what they're calling it. And some of the Ant-Man footage that they showed at Comic-Con last year was on that.
Sweet.
It's going to be pretty cool, I think.
You know, to be honest with you guys, I was never much of a Avengers comic book fan. I was Wolverine. I was Punisher.
Well, that movie's coming out this summer, too.
Right. Well, yeah, I did. That was another one that was on the graphic that looked interesting. And actually, I saw a preview. I did see a trailer for Wolverine, which looked really good.
Especially I did, too.
He had long hair and a big old long beard. And I was like, oh, yeah. He's been roughing it. But I learned what I know of the Avengers from the cartoon, which is spectacular.
Earth's Mightiest Heroes.
Yes, is that the one
cartoon that has now been canceled to make way for the fact that Disney bought Marvel?
Yes.
So they're actually going to launch a new cartoon.
Well, that's a shame. They should just continue that one because
it's a lot of really awesome. Yeah, a lot of really good cartoons got the axe in. They got lost in the shuffle of the merger. Spectacular Spider-Man was also one of them, I think.
However, that Ultimate Spider-Man cartoon isn't terrible.
I've read that it's the most horrible thing since One More Day. So that's interesting. I stayed away because on hearing that, but
I watched it just because it had Nova in it. And while I'm not a big fan of that Nova, the show isn't terrible. Now, it's definitely aimed at a 10-year-old.
Okay.
Aimed at a 10-year-old. But let's put it this way. There is a point where Loki turns him into Peter Porker the Spider-Ham. So.
Oh, God. Okay.
Peter Porker the Spider-Ham.
That is
a real comic from Marvel in the 80s.
Yeah, that is a deep fan service cut right there. So, okay. Yes, whoever's behind it knows their shit.
By the way, Paul Dini wrote that episode.
Yeah, because that's what gave me hope.
And is one of the writers on the show.
And that's what gave me hope initially. But I don't know who else is on there or who's running the damn thing. Like with Spectacular, you had Greg Wiseman and a bunch of other people who ran Gargoyles back in the 90s.
Yep.
And so not only did they know their shit, they knew how to make like good drama on like a weekly basis. And, you know, day in, day out for 3 years. And they made, I mean, Spectacular was great. And the people who were running Earth's Mightiest Heroes, they were the same way. Not the same people, but they came from the same strata of 90s animation.
Then there's the whole thing with now that they own Lucasfilm, you know, they've also canceled all of those cartoons and closed LucasArts. So, you know, what do you do?
Yeah, you curse mightily. Yeah.
It's their company. They can do whatever the fuck they want, I guess.
Just damn it. I intermittently enjoy Clone Wars.
You know, that's mind-boggling to think of how many innovations LucasArts really brought to the whole industry to just shut them down. Like,
well, they're
like,
the ones that came up with what was called the Scrum system that they used on Maniac Mansion that was the big basis for a lot of how those games got played for a while.
And hell, they haven't had much of a commercial hit in these last
not in a long time, no. And that's time, why no. that's why from certain standpoints it makes sense.
Right.
A lot of the big Star Wars type hits have been from other companies.
It's not like the LucasArts programmers suddenly suffered this complete, you know, stroke or something.
Honestly, I think the really digital graphics and special effects and everything, haven't we kind of plateaued when Asylum, you know, when a movie company like Asylum's able to put, like, you know, decent digital graphics in a movie, you know,
then you look at stuff like Life of Pi, which is gorgeous as far as those special effects go. And then, you know, while they're up there getting their Oscar for special effects or for visual effects, the guy starts to talk about the fact that they've been put out of business. And promptly gets played off stage. It's...
Right.
Yeah.
Well, right, because they're doing it for next to nothing. Just like how the Simpsons cartoon gets animated. You know, we outsource it. All right, you know, like, I guess in America, like, every 12th frame or whatever's drawn here, then all the other ones are filled in, you know, overseas.
Yes.
They outsource it for pennies. And I imagine much of our digital animation and stuff, it's a it's all been invented. Like, they're not breaking new ground. They're just, you know, making more dinosaurs run through a field or
well, but
through
the wall somebody
or,
still has to somebody still has to tell those things what to do. I mean, yes, right. A lot of the techniques
but it's become
are,
so much cheaper.
At this point,
it's become
but,
so much cheaper to do. They're able to do it like on a such a low budget level now that. Yeah, I mean, I don't know.
Except we haven't reached a plateau in terms of technology. What we have done is reached a plateau in terms of like manpower. The thing that happens is like every summer, every visual effects company in Hollywood gets just deluged with work.
What's the most expensive movie made coming out this summer? What movie is it?
If I had to guess, it's probably either going to be Pacific Rim, although probably not because Guillermo del Toro is known for being able to work on a budget.
World War Z.
World War Z.
Go with
what? What do you think about that?
World War Z is probably a good guess.
What do you think about World War Z? Curious. I know how Dave feels about zombies.
I think really it's going to be. It may be the movie that Dave is so happy about at the end of it because it will mean the death of the zombie craze.
Well, you think that it will ruin it?
You think that it will ruin the zombie craze? Like everyone will hate zombies after watching it? Like, zombies.
I think they might because for starters, these zombies aren't the shambling, you know, slow moving. They are quick. They are, and part of that is because they're all freshly dead. If dead, it seems to be almost more of an infection like 28 days later. But I don't know much about it. I haven't read the book that this movie is allegedly based on, but I do know that the
loosely the book, based.
I said allegedly for a reason. the book, which was written by Mel Brooks' son, Max Brooks, by the way.
That's Mel Brooks' son?
Yep.
I had no fucking clue. No fucking way. Fuck
yep.
me on a fucking stick.
No dramatic cinematic podcast. We entertain and we inform.
But anyway, you just
dropped some edumacation on me.
The book is actually a compilation of survivor stories from a zombie apocalypse. So the way they do it is that it's like interview style.
I read three quarters of it, and it was boring.
And what they've done with this movie, well, it wasn't really supposed to. There
monotone.
Was no main narrative in the book.
Well, everyone sounded, you just couldn't tell one character apart from the next. It all sounded like it didn't create that character in your head because none of the excerpts were long enough to get to know the character speaking or
that was documented in it.
And so, like, it was hard to get for anyone to have their own voice. And so after you got, you know, 50-60% into the book, it's just like, oh, here's another one, you know. And because it becomes monotone in your head reading.
What they've done is they're now telling the story of the zombie apocalypse happening instead of going back and telling the interviews of how these people survived. They're actually showing it happen, and it's following Brad Pitt's character.
It is. I will say that it's very interesting.
And so they've taken the basic concept and just put a name. They put the name on the movie, but it really doesn't seem to have much to do with the book at all.
I think it's really neat or interesting seeing how the dynamics of the zombies crawling up on top of one another.
That is interesting. It's an interesting visual.
Almost like ants. Trying to get over like a wall or something, you know,
trying to eat Shia LaBeouf's feet.
Yes, that would be
LaBeouf.
I'll be looking forward to
LaBeouf.
That.
Shia LaBeouf.
Made a Crystal Skull reference. I'm sorry.
I'm going to be uncharacteristically optimistic then and go for the positive angle on this because this will star my boy Brad Pitt, who, like me, as a fellow survivor of Southwest Missouri.
This don't feel right, Dave.
I feel a special kinship to the man and pretty much everything he does, no matter how crappy it might turn out to be. I mean, shit.
I tend to like him, but I don't think I'm going to like this movie much.
Yeah, it'll at least be better than the Resident Evil movies.
I did buy the box set, Resident Evil.
Of course you did.
I love
okay.
it.
I
can't help it.
Your
it's
fault.
It's
no
brainless.
Problem.
It's brainless zombie fun, and I like Resident Evil. I've always liked the video games, and I really like whatever Longlegs' name is.
That's
long legs.
That Milojevic.
Yeah, Milojevic.
Now I'm with you on the Mila, but at the same time, the biggest condemnations of those films I've read or seen come from fans of the video games. So I'm surprised to hear that.
They're so loosely based. I mean, it's just like part one and two of a video game. Like, they don't really care if they carry on the story. It's just a story to wrap around, you know, the coding that they put together.
Especially if it came on an 8 or a 16 or even a first generation.
So I have a question for you guys.
Yes. And I have an answer for you, sir.
This is our summer movie spectacular. Where do you guys see the summer actually starting? What is the start of the summer for you?
That is a good goddamn question, because it keeps getting earlier every year.
I mean, I guess being in Indiana, Indy 500, once we get into May and we start.
Well, but as far as movies go, I mean.
Well, that usually that's when all the big blockbusters are, too.
Iron Man opens up, you know, next weekend as this is coming out. And so that's kind of what everybody seems to think of as the kickoff.
Mm-hmm. And I'd agree with that. I'd say, like, Memorial Day used to be the start of it, but it's moved earlier every year. And they keep moving the bar.
There could be some argument that the one that comes out this week, Pain and Gain, might be a good start.
Who's that? The Rock and who?
Mark Wahlberg.
Marky Mark.
And you know honestly, what? It looks really funny.
I like Marky Mark. And I like Dwayne Johnson. I really do.
I saw the G.I. Joe movie. He was pretty good. Now, the movie itself had a lot of problems, but I generally enjoyed myself. The movie sucked, but I enjoyed myself.
I enjoyed the first movie.
Oh, really? I'm glad to hear that, Mike. I'll carry that forward. But no, with Pain and Gain, though, I am morbidly fascinated, because Michael Bay has been...
I kind of am, too.
He has been trying to get this damn thing made, apparently, for at least half a decade, and it's finally here. It was a trade-off he made. He'll blight us with Transformers 4,
Pain and Gain.
In order to, yes, and he made it. God damn it! I never thought I'd see it, but I
would love to be in that position to be
Michael. I'm like, good for you, man. Fine.
All right, I'll remake Miss Congeniality. All right, I'll do it. I'll fucking do it. But then I get to make something independent for me. All right.
Which is actually a smart way to go.
Yeah.
It's how you get to do your vanity project that
honestly looks like a lot of fun. This may be the first movie from Michael Bay that I really enjoy.
It worked for Kubrick for years.
Well, that's true.
He did the one for the money people, for the bean counters, and then he went off and did whatever the fuck. And Michael Bay has been in a position to do this for, like, what, since 2008?
This is him cashing in his vanity chips, yeah.
It's about, I say it's about time. I'm going to be right the hell there. Yeah, first in line.
It'll be interesting. I'm really kind of interested to see it. Again, I'm morbidly fascinated by it, yeah.
All right, so
speaking of The Rock, we've also got a Fast and Furious movie on deck again.
I actually don't have that on my list. When is that coming out?
Fast 6?
It just came out on Blu-ray again. Boom. It was in the theaters an hour ago. It's on Blu-ray now.
Yeah, right. The 24th of May. So
that's going to be a weird weekend.
They are fun movies that I got to admit it. The third one was my favorite. I love Tokyo Drift, and I'm probably alone on that. A lot of people hated that movie.
Isn't that the one of those movies that went straight to video?
Probably. It was in Japan. It was good. I haven't seen
any of them. It was actually really my thing.
It was actually considered a prequel.
The first one is a ripoff of Point Break. The second one is how would you even describe Too Fast, Too Furious? I don't even know.
It's like, oh, we got to cash in on this while we still can.
Okay, yeah, that's it.
Longer than they thought.
Yeah, well, because that summer was totally cash-in summer. The summer that came out, 2002, there was fucking nothing but cash-ins and 28 days later. But so the third one, as Lewis said, was in Tokyo. The fourth one was the we're trying to
Bring back the first one.
We're going back to formula. And ever since, we've been running around with Vin Diesel, Paul Walker, their Motley Crue, and they've been, The Rock has been like their Inspector Javert. But he'll be joining forces with them this time, or be forced to.
Of course he will. And then in the next one, we'll bring Sean William Scott in. We'll get him involved.
Exactly. In order to take on even worser highway pirates.
Right.
That we've never heard of before.
So, yes, they're bad guys that become good guys doing their bad things.
Let's kind of break this down, because I've got a whole list of stuff that's coming out. And if we kind of go by the month, that might help a little bit.
Okay.
So for May, we kind of start off, the big thing I've got is Iron Man 3.
About time. Yep. Oh, God. I've got my fingers crossed.
That is a must-see.
These trilogies.
That's a must-see.
It looks so good.
I know, right?
It will be.
Everything I've seen looks so fantastic, and I'm trying not to just be blinded by the awesome armors.
I know, right?
That Hulkbuster armor in the trailer, I almost came up out of my seat. I was, like, high-fiving the air. It's like, yes.
Oh, punch the air? Yes, the...
But no, I mean, it looks great, and I tend to like Shane Black stuff, and he both wrote and directed it.
Gives me hope that there'll be like a unified vision, and we can avoid the pitfalls of Iron Man 2, and this will be like a whole movie.
Exactly, and I mean, it doesn't have a whole lot in the way of other Avengers. They've kind of cut it off. I think they learned from... That's the best thing about Marvel. They seem to have learned from Iron Man 2, where they used too much of it to set up Avengers.
Yeah, it became...
Because it wasn't important to that story. So
it's just Tony and Rhodey. And they're... Well, I've heard a few other things, too. But for the most part, it's just Tony and Rhodey. They're the only ones in superhero suits.
It's about... And they'll be fighting the Mandarin, and it's about fucking time. I've waited
orange.
For this cartoon
and the Mandarin
to come to life.
Is Ben Kingsley.
Exactly. I've waited for this cartoon
really,
to come
ben
to
Kingsley?
Life since
really?
I was
oh,
six.
God, he's a fucking amazing actor.
Isn't he,
yes.
Though? Oh, amazing.
But yeah, I cannot wait to see this happen. I'm dying to see it. That's also Free Comic Book Day. Is that weekend?
Oh, wow. Perfect.
They do that on purpose.
Of course.
Also, because of the timing, Free Comic Book Day is the first Saturday of May, which is, of course, when Iron Man, you know, will release that weekend. But it's also May the 4th. So there's a weird Star Wars thing that's kind of come up around May the 4th. So I think there's something being done because it's also Free Comic Book Day. So that'll be interesting. But go to your local comic shop on May 4th. There's free comic books there.
Yes. Support your local comic book store.
So what's the next
them,
big one?
People become mean.
The next big one is the next week, and that's The Great Gatsby.
Oh, right. I would actually...
Who thought I was going to say those words?
I've read that book. Who thought I would say those words?
It's a good book, but... Yes.
This one's required reading, but I actually enjoyed it. I like the Roaring Twenties.
This one's the guy that did Moulin Rouge. Baz Luhrmann. I mean, it's very the trailers I've seen are very flashy, which kind of makes sense with the story. I don't know really what to think about it yet, but it does look really interesting. I will probably go see it.
I'm scared of Baz Luhrmann.
I understand.
I am true to my character on this podcast. One of those people who detests Moulin Rouge. But
I actually enjoy Moulin Rouge.
And I come from, but I come by it honestly. I detested his previous film, William Shakespeare's Romeo plus Juliet.
I refuse to watch that movie.
You as well. You should. There's much better versions of it that have been made before and since. I'd recommend the '68 version that was made by Europeans who know how to sex up underage love stories properly. I should say properly.
Wonderful.
But the 1996 one with, of course, Leonardo DiCaprio and it permanently soured me to Baz Luhrmann's entire oeuvre because he hasn't changed since.
And this movie has Leonardo DiCaprio as Gatsby.
Exactly.
Tobey Maguire as Nick. Is that the other character's name?
Yes, and that's why I'm so confused. confused because, like, Leo has grown into an actual fucking actor in, surprise, surprise, the years since. He's, oh my God, he's matured and grown into his craft. Big, yep. Big shocker.
It could be an excellent, amazing movie. I just don't know.
Yeah.
Everything I've seen tells me it could go, it really could seriously go either way. It's either going to be an amazing movie or a complete train wreck, and either way, I kind of want to see that.
Good point. That's a very good point. And speaking of that, the next week we have Star Trek.
I cannot freaking wait for Star Trek because I am a huge Star Trek nerd to begin with. So
me
there's
too.
That.
Nerd. Me too.
And then they've just recently announced that Zoe Saldana is putting in her third huge franchise. She's going to be playing Gamora in the Guardians of the Galaxy movie.
Okay, well, good. They picked, yeah, okay, sure, why not?
I'd like to see roles like that go to more than one person.
I really would, too. I was shipping for Gina Torres because I do so in every capacity.
I understand. I think she's at the point now, and I bugs the hell out of me to say it, but a studio is going to think she's too old to play the kick-ass female.
For Gamora? You've seen pictures of Gamora.
I'm not saying it's right.
Right? Ideally, right, a budget-conscious studio would want to make Gamora entirely out of pixels. So,
I don't know about that.
Well, you know they'd try if they could get away with it.
Besides, Gamora's new costume, you have to remember the comics that they put out a couple years ago with Guardians of the Galaxy, the ones that made it a viable film license, are being completely ignored by Marvel now.
Of course, they've been rebooted, right? So I shouldn't even bother?
Not rebooted, it's kind of a soft boot. They're not...
Marvel does. Yeah, I know.
Not saying that the other stuff didn't happen. They're just saying, but let's focus on this stuff over here.
Of course.
The truly badass helmet that Star-Lord had is gone. Rocket Raccoon is apparently now completely pissed off if you call him a raccoon.
Just Rocket? Like that. That'll be how it'll be in the film. It'll be just Rocket.
Apparently. Apparently, it sounds like he thinks calling him a raccoon is racist. I'm not
yes,
sure.
Because what did you expect? Yellow spandex?
Yeah. Drax is Batista, so he'll stand there and he'll do some action scenes and he won't talk much. And you know what? That's probably the best casting they could do. But Gamora, they've changed her costume so that she's more covered up, which generally I agree with. I think, you know, we're past the days where we need to roll out any female character in next to nothing just because that's the only way you guys to watch.
Oh, fuck. I was 10 and I wasn't
hurting. That's not the way it works anymore.
Yeah, I was 10 and I wasn't hurting for cheesecake.
Or at least Marvel has figured out that's not the way it needs to work anymore.
Yeah.
But so they've changed that. Now, granted, for her character, that actually kind of fit in the first place, and so it's kind of weird that they've redone it for that character.
Like the Power Girls.
Progress is progress, and I'll take it. The point is, because they're covering her up more, I don't think that they need to pixelate her as much.
All right. Well, you know what?
That's a long way to go for that.
Yes, that is a very long way to go. That is a perfect time to take a break.
Okay, we can finish off May when we get back.
We will, yeah. and maybe we'll actually get into the summer months. Maybe.
Oh, what?
I still lots more to do.
Yeah, the two of them. The two of them where everything gets crowded into every year. Yes, we can do this.
Yep. Remember, folks, traumaticcinematic.com. We'll be right back.
cinematic, bitches.
Check us out, DramaticCinematic.com. Welcome back again, ladies and gentlemen. We are still the Traumatic Cinematic Show. We did not change during that halftime break. I'm still Mugumbo. With me is still Mike and Dave.
Hello.
It's still the super extravagant summer spectacular.
And we're still talking about May.
Yeah, we're still in May.
Just because we got a bottleneck. But yeah, the 24th, a bunch of shit comes out apparently.
Bunch of shit comes out. It'll be interesting because the two big things that are going to fight it out are going to be Hangover 3 and Fast and the Furious 6.
True.
Hangover 3, really, it's going to tell the story that they just couldn't fit into the first two, right?
Right.
Which the second one was the first one again, so...
This is their grand apology to us all.
They're also promising it's going to be the last one, so that should be interesting.
First one was
we've heard that before.
was gut busting hilarious. I mean, the first time I saw it without any expectations, it was tears to the eyes funny, but that was it.
And like, then you're watching the second one, and it's like, what is this, Evil Dead 2? Yeah, but those are going to be the two that are going to fight it out for the big numbers for that week, which kind of makes me sad because. Well, no, it doesn't, because that means Star Trek may have a shot at keeping more money. But the other big thing that's out that week is a movie called Epic, and that's the kids movie. It's an animated movie about kind of hard to explain. I've only seen the trailer a couple times. There's a girl who gets shrunk and ends up in a magical fairy world kind of deal. There's a war going on, and it actually looks like it's going to be a fun movie. It's got Colin Farrell as the male lead and Amanda Seyfried as the female lead. Josh Hutcherson is the male lead. And Colin Farrell's like the big general guy. But everybody seems to be having fun from the sound of it. So it could be a good movie to see. It's not one I can go see without my nieces and nephews or else people think I'm there to put children in my white cargo van. What do you do?
If you would take the sticker off the side of it that says free candy.
I know.
People would look at you so odd.
But, comes to us from the director of Ice Age, for whatever that's worth to anyone.
But the movie that I really am looking forward to seeing that goes into limited release on the 24th of May is one called Eddie the Sleepwalking Cannibal. I saw a trailer for this just the other day, and it looks bizarre. There's a guy who can't sleep. But there's more to it than that. And this is one of those things that I can't really describe it to you. Look for that trailer. It's on YouTube. Eddie the Sleepwalking Cannibal. It's a very weird-looking movie, but I am dying to see it. And that finishes out the 24th for what I have listed here. And like I said, my list just kind of hits the stuff that I thought was interesting. So your mileage may vary a little bit. But then to finish out May, the only thing I have for the next week for May 31st is a movie called The Purge.
Which I just heard about today.
Oh, is it a story about bulimia?
No.
Apparently, on a national scale.
Actually. It
takes place in a post-apocalyptic future where one night a year... The entire nation's emergency services just don't show up to work, and so everybody gets to go crazy.
For one night a year, every law is suspended, and there is no law. You can do whatever the fuck you want to do. Which, you know, that's shown up from time to time in classic science fiction and things in that, and it never goes well.
Rob Springer for the Amish.
Yes, exactly. And not
I hadn't really
so
thought
classic.
Of it that way, but yeah.
Yeah, and
Rob Springer!
If you want to go like extremely classic science fiction, yes. But even in not so classic science fiction, I'd say this is I'd say this got greenlit because the Hunger Games.
Probably.
But even that, of course, owes so much to Battle Royale.
Oh, I was gonna say as soon as you said Hunger Games, I was like, you know what a good movie is?
Yeah.
Battle Royale.
I know my best friend came to me angry, you know, just raging, because she's a great big fan of Battle Royale from like way back when they were first publishing the manga. And when she heard that The Hunger Games was being turned into a movie, she came to me in a rage, in a tirade, begging me to jump on the hate bandwagon. And, of course, I had to refuse because I hadn't read the book or seen the movie.
I'm sure I'm not the only person that made this joke, but my favorite joke is to call Hunger Games Battle Royale with cheese.
That's delicious. I can't believe I've never heard of that. But okay, so the next week, then, we have the second of what seems to be a theme here of, speaking of post-apocalypse, right?
Yeah.
I mean, this reminds me of the 90s when we got our dueling tornado movies and then our dueling volcano movies and then
this happens. I mean, just think about a couple years ago with the dueling Snow White movies.
Asteroid movie. Oh, God.
What is this? What is this dueling movie?
Movie called After Earth.
And it is, and it stars the Smiths, I guess we should call them now, Will and his son, right?
Well, originally, my understanding is that originally it was just going to be his son, but he liked the script so much that he said, well, who's playing the dad? Well, we haven't cast that yet. Well,
we don't know if you would really be able to pull it off.
You got to be in this spaceship on all these green screen sets all the time. We don't know, Will.
Well, and my understanding is that the way Will Smith's character works is he gets injured early in the movie. And
so it's going to be all Smith the Younger, right?
And so he'll be on the ship most of the time.
Okay. It's going to be another
Karate Kid. And it'll be the kid that goes out and does stuff, yeah.
Type of thing. Yeah. Hero's Journey type of thing. Okay.
So what is the next big apocalyptic movie?
Well, it's post-apocalyptic, right? Because the conceit of both cases is that the Earth has been completely abandoned for, like, however long, and, you know, it's infested with all these crazy life forms, and there's probably some manner of conspiracy going on, especially in the other one we have this summer, which is called Oblivion, and stars Mr. Tom Cruise. In which
and I can't find that on my list. When does that open?
It opens actually before After Earth. I was amazed.
I have to say something.
I somehow
here.
Missed a couple things.
I am
May,
not
apparently.
I'm not much of a Tom Cruise fan, right? And I like to make fun of Church of Scientology, which who doesn't, right?
Right.
But because I can't afford to be part of them. But anyway, I watched what was it? Rock of Ages. And he plays the big rock star in it, and
yes.
He was fucking awesome at it. He's a fucking awesome actor. You can't deny it.
Funny thing about his role in Rock of Ages, originally that was an off Broadway that was done in L.A. They did it in Vegas too. But
it's hard
the
to get
guy
more
that,
off Broadway than that.
the guy that originated the role was Chris Hardwick from The Nerdist.
Which reveals
you're in love with him, aren't you? You're like everything.
He's cool.
Chris Hardwick did it. Chris Hardwick did it.
It does reveal some things about The Nerdist. It does make them. It does clear them up. But no, Oblivion will actually come out before everything that we've been discussing because it comes out on the 19th of April.
So, that's why it's not on my list.
Mm-hmm.
All right. What's next? We got to get.
All right. I also have. Also, for the same week of After Earth, the thing that I'll be at is Joss Whedon's Much Ado About Nothing.
Me too, because it's about time.
Because it's Shakespeare, which I love Shakespeare. It's Joss Whedon, which I love Joss Whedon. It also was shot in his house while he was it was like they had a couple of weeks between when they finished the principal filming for Avengers and when they started doing the big cleanup on the special effects. And so they literally had like 3 weeks and they decided they just shot the movie to do it. It was mostly, my understanding is, his wife went to him and said, you know, instead of taking a vacation this year, why don't we just shoot that movie that you've been wanting to shoot? Well, and that's what they did. They used their vacation money to shoot Much Ado About Nothing as a movie in his house.
It just happens that they already had all the equipment from doing Avenger, the studio. Like, we just
well,
not taking
I think
it back
able
yet.
To come up with that on his own. But,
it's like, oh, Well, it's in the garage, guys. I'll bring it back next week, all right?
Oh, hell. He probably has a rig in his garage from, like, the early 90s when he was making Super 8.
I mean, if you think about it, we can buy stuff now that on a fairly small budget that is almost movie quality. Can you imagine if you're Joss Whedon what you've got access to? Besides, I'm sure he has people that bring favors.
Same stuff. Well, except for he doesn't have to buy it on Craigslist.
That's true.
I think his is black and white.
Might be. But either way,
it's all shot in his house. My favorite part about this whole thing is that Nathan Fillion is playing Dogberry,
which is perfect. I mean, anyone can top Michael Keaton, it's going to be Nathan Fillion.
The joke that I made when I first heard that, and it's still one of my favorite jokes. It's right up there with it's better than Battle Royale with cheese, if you ask me. It's that. Having Nathan Fillion play Dogberry is a redefinition of the term malapropism.
Oh, that's a deep cut. That's a real English
nerd. I'm too stupid to get that on.
That's a real English nerd joke. That is a joke worthy of Whedon himself. Because I'm not really sure.
That's a hipster joke is what that
I'll
is.
I'll agree with that. Now, see, that's an incorrect use of the term hipster. But anyway... Screw all that. Next week, we get our new Superman movie.
The next week.
I can't wait. I mean, I'm like, hurry up and get here so I can stop being anxious.
I don't know. I mean, I'm.
I know. I'm
a huge Batman guy, and the Christopher Nolan Batman movies, while excellent, really just bummed me out. And so I found them
exhilarating experiences of
I'm
of
so
daring.
Done. I mean, if you think about it, Avengers was... Dark Knight Rises was about 10 minutes longer than Avengers. Mm. It was actually about 10 minutes longer than Avengers.
Yeah,
it seemed about 3 hours longer than Avengers.
To you, or for you.
Those Batman movies were so damn depressing that I walked out of them just wanting to take a nap.
Really? Unfortunate. I walked out of each and every one of them, except the first one, exhilarated.
But the Man of Steel movie, I think, is going to be it's got to be lighter just by the definition. Just by the definition of who the character is, it's got to be a lighter movie. If it's not, there are already problems. You're already starting to have a hole there.
But can you really do a lighter movie? Because you have to realize that for every one of us, there are millions more people out there who didn't give a fuck about any of this crap. Until the hype around Heath Ledger's death forced them to go see The Dark Knight.
But
they got their minds blown, and Warner Brothers is chasing them. They don't give a fuck about us. They're after those people.
And they need to
Heath Ledger, I mean, what a fucking performance, though. I mean, really. I mean,
of course.
We don't have to argue that.
Of course. No, we don't.
But still, I was exhausted after that movie.
And I
agree. They're not an easy movie to just to want to sit down and watch every weekend.
Well, I mean, it's not like for Iron Man, they're doing some theaters are doing the doing Iron Man 1, 2, 3. Boom, boom, boom.
Never,
right there in the theater.
Right. I can never.
Can you imagine? Can you imagine trying to sit through all three of those Batman movies without hanging yourself by the end?
John Cross, that's what happened to John Cross, and indeed he is ready and willing to hang himself at the mere mention of The Dark Knight Rises at this point. I hate those marathons. I would never do no, that would just be insane. It'd be crazy.
But I'm very interested in seeing Man of Steel. I am cautiously optimistic. Zack Snyder is another one of those guys that has been really hit or miss with me. I liked 300 a lot. I did not care for the one with the crazy girls.
Can't even remember its name. Can you?
Speaking of 300, I saw somewhere about 302.
Indeed.
Yes, that is out in August. We'll get to that in a few minutes.
August. Well, we can get to it now because what do we know about it? Sure. It's 300.
August 2nd. 300 Rise of an Empire.
It's
supposed to deal more with what's his name, the guy who proclaimed himself a god,
Xerxes.
Thank you.
Yeah, now that would be the Emperor of Persia.
Something that kind of ties in with all that, because I see a very strong similarities between them, is that in Spartacus, which is a Starz original show, I do believe, Starz?
Yes.
It started off a really good series. I mean, really bloody, gory, and perverted, practically pornography. But it still was pretty good. And this last season, it's gotten bad.
Well, it's bad. It doesn't help that their star died.
No, I know, but he was dead last season too, and they did pretty good without him. They finished the story, but it's all changed. It's like they just don't. I don't know. It's much, but it has.
My understanding is they decided to cancel the show after he died, and so they just kind of wrapped it up.
Well, they've done two seasons without him, so.
I know.
But sometimes you just got to, you know, it just ends before it's time. I mean, what the hell happened to Rome? That could have gone on forever. That could have gone on long enough to meet up with Spartacus.
That's funny. Like, well,
so to go back to Man of Steel for a second, that same week, there's another movie that comes out that I'm really interested in seeing called This is the End. This is another one of those The Apocalypse is Happening movies. But this one, for starters, it was written by Jay Baruchel, who is an actor. He was the lead in stuff like She's Out of Your League. But he also wrote the movie Goon, which is Sean William Scott as a hockey player.
Oh, yes, yes. I've seen that.
As it turns out, he's a really good writer. But this movie is – okay, so it's Jay Baruchel – and Seth Rogen, and Paul Craig Rudd, Robinson.
And James Franco. Emma, Hermione, light of my heart.
Hang on a moment, because it gets better. There's a new trailer for this that came out this week, and I don't want to tell you what happens, but Hermione herself is in the trailer, and it is one of the best things that I've ever seen. But the new trailer also has – basically, they're at a big party at James Franco's house – when the world ends. And so the first thing you see is all these stars running to try and get away. And so you see Aziz Ansari fall down a big hole, and he's like, help me out. I'm sorry, man, you're already in the hole. And just take off and leave him.
They're all playing themselves.
And then there's the grisly death of Michael Cera in the trailer. And you could almost hear all the nerds go, woohoo! Because people hate him for some reason. But first he's hitting on Rihanna, which is funny.
Because they watched all of his movies back to back, which they shouldn't have done. I avoided doing that. I think of Arrested Development.
Since we are talking about the summer movie spectacular stuff, we should probably mention they just announced recently that Arrested Development's going to have its new season on Netflix come out on May 26th.
New season? Like they are making
they
it
They shot
again?
All new stuff, yeah.
No fucking way! That's awesome.
And that's why we tell people things.
That's why.
May 26th, that is going to drop on Netflix, and the whole season will be available at once. But This is the End looks like it's going to be a great freaking movie. It kind of reminds me of My Name is Bruce, which is the Bruce Campbell movie where they think that he's the one that can help them fight the evil demon.
Awesome.
I love that movie, but this looks like that with more stars and a budget.
Sweet.
which could only help, right?
Yeah. The next big thing I have is the following week, and that is Monsters University, which, you know, I love the Pixar movies. I love the sequels. This one's a prequel to Monsters, Inc. So John Goodman and Billy Crystal.
Well, he needs the work
college.
Anyway.
But
Billy,
you said
Billy lost out the Oscars this year, so.
I know. It is a prequel, Dave. But it's them in college. It should be interesting. It looks like there might be a little bit too much Animal House in it for me to find it good, because it's Animal House on a kiddie scale.
Which is blasphemy, is what that
I
is.
Know. I don't know. The trailers for Pixar movies tend to be made for the trailer. They don't tend to show you too much of the movie.
Well, a lot of Pixar movies recently have been made for their own trailers. But
I mean, they make their own trailers. The trailers they make are, hey, we're doing a movie. They're not, hey, here's some of the movie. So I don't know. I don't know enough about it to have any real opinion other than I liked Monsters, Inc. The other big thing that opens up that weekend is World War Z. So we already know how I feel about World War Z. So
yeah,
I may see Man of Steel again.
So I liked Kick-Ass. And the 28th, then, we will be finally getting Kick-Ass 2, no longer known as Balls to the Wall, which is unfortunate.
I have Kick-Ass 2 down for August 16th.
Awesome subtitle. It may have moved since I made my calendar. If it has, that's unfortunate, because I was looking forward to that, damn it.
They could have moved up, too. I don't know.
Because it's... No, your research is probably more up-to-date than mine. So,
well, I just did it right before we did the show, so...
There you go.
I mean, I research these for weeks at a time. What are you talking about?
Yeah, right. But if that's the case, then we can skip to the Lone Ranger, which will be our July 4th extravaganza.
Man, I just don't know what to think about that. Johnny this Depp year. Is Tonto, really?
Yeah, right.
I will say that I just found out the other day that Walton Goggins is in that movie. And anytime he's in a movie, there's a better than ever chance it's going to be good. So,
Who's Walton Goggins, Mike?
If you saw him, you would recognize. He's done lots and lots of stuff. He's in Justified. He was in... He was actually in the new G.I. Joe movie. He's one of those guys that you look at and you go, oh, that guy. when he shows up, it tends to be a good time. So
yeah, some of the guys tend to be explicit markers of good movies. Like when Joe Pantoliano was in The Matrix.
Joey Pants.
Yeah, like when I saw him in The Matrix, I was like, oh, okay, I know where I'm at. Okay, I'm in good hands. Fuck yeah.
Normally, one of those I call them movie litmuses. Normally one of those for me is Paul Giamatti. However, he is going to play the Rhino in the new Spider-Man movie. So, that could be the most amazing thing ever, but
we're getting ahead of ourselves. Lone Ranger
NBC.
The other big thing opening up that weekend is Despicable Me 2. I really liked the first one.
Yeah,
and apparently the bad guy is Al Pacino this time. So,
any good independent stuff like John Dies at the End? Anything like big and exciting like that?
This is the end. Eddie the Sleepwalking Cannibal.
Yeah, see, I like that. Well, I mean,
that's two. But if you're talking about
Upstream
later July,
Color went into. Upstream Color went into limited release in early April, but it should be out on Blu-ray DVD in early May.
And see, if you're talking about late summer, then by now the festival circuits are winding down gearing up for fall, and so that's when we'll get the explosion. But of course, that won't get wide release like fucking anywhere. And if we're lucky, you'll live in a town like mine where you can find that theater that shows
Indianapolis is not one of those theaters. There are people starting to try and push it that way. There actually is a guy who's trying to get there's a website called Tug where you can request TUGG where you can request movies, and if enough people are game to go see it, you get to see your movie at whatever theater they set up. There's a guy that's trying to do Battle Royale in May.
In May, like in my town at a theater, it's called the Alamo Draft House, and Kevin Smith is...
I want to go to the Alamo Draft House someday.
You should, because on May 9th, Kevin Smith is coming to my town, to Portland, and he's bringing his Jay and Silent Bob movie with him.
Oh, he'll be here for that in May.
It's part of his national tour.
I think it's
tour.
Late May. I don't remember offhand. I've got tickets.
He's going to view the movie with everyone?
Yeah.
It's another national tour of his, just like he did with Red State. He's already
Jay
made
Silent
it.
Silent Bob, super groovy cartoon movie.
Yep, and it's him and Muse doing the live introductions, and, you know.
Well, they're doing a full-on podcast and then showing the movie.
Yeah, just because they can, because that's how he rolled now. And it's about time. We've been waiting for that cartoon. Yeah, we've been waiting for that cartoon.
They made that movie
forever.
On $69,000.
I actually just watched a... Jay and Bob, whatchamacallit, on Netflix about the, I think they're in Australia.
Oh, yeah, the Down Under?
Yes, and very, very good.
I haven't seen that one yet, but it's supposed to be pretty good.
It was actually really good. They get into, you know, how why they started off doing this circuit thing was to help keep Jay off of heroin and the hard shit.
And it seems to be working. He's reaching. He's close to 1,000 days if he hasn't hit it already.
Yeah, like they talked about. So go him. So it was pretty awesome. So.
So the next big thing is the thing that I think I am looking forward to the most this year.
Yes.
And this is a year where there's Iron Man 3 and a new fucking Star Trek movie. And this is the movie I'm the most excited for.
Yes.
Pacific Rim. Pacific Rim, Pacific Rim, Pacific Rim. I cannot fucking wait to see this movie, Pacific Rim.
I thought you were going to say Doctor Who. We're going to see a 50th anniversary Doctor Who movie.
Oh, we wish, yeah, the Whovians wish, rather.
Actually, they've made a couple announcements about that Doctor Who 50th anniversary special is coming out. David Tennant is in it.
And I will, Rose.
And I will sacrifice as many barnyard animals as I need to get Christopher Eccleston to agree to do it for you all.
He's already flat out said no. They've had a couple meetings and decided not to do it.
Hence the need for barnyard animals.
I will say that I...
He helped revive the Doctor into
but
a new
But he didn't really want
to
do it, so it doesn't matter.
He had a bad working experience, shall we say. But anyway, Pacific Rim, yes.
Pacific Rim.
Robots and giant monsters.
Giant fucking robots versus giant fucking monsters. That is basically Guillermo del Toro's exact words for his description of the movie.
Which is great. I mean, I don't know about you, but years and years ago, I heard a horrible rumor that they were going to do a whitewash remake of Evangelion.
That and comes up from time to time, yeah.
It does, but in this particular case, I heard an even more horrible rumor that Guillermo del Toro was attached to it. And for a while there, I despaired. And so I consulted my Necronomicon, and I sacrificed goats, and I prayed to all the dark gods that I could think of and name. And lo and behold, I'm watching The Hobbit, and this fucking trailer comes up. And I'm like, oh my god, really?
I have never, ever disliked a Guillermo del Toro movie.
Exactly.
There has never been a Guillermo del Toro movie that I have... Even if he had done an Evangelion movie, yeah, a whitewashed Evangelion movie, it would have been good.
You think? Because I'm talking like Last Airbender version of Eva. I'm talking major.
But he would have made that good.
Plus,
there's also the fact. Well, yes, because it's Guillermo del Toro, and he is conscious enough to not attach himself to shit that he can't do.
Which I believe is why this project is as one of the few pieces of quote unquote original intellectual property that we're going to see this year.
And it's
going
to be fucking insane.
What, original, like original to him?
Original, as in it is not explicitly based off a comic book or a regular book.
So it was written
TV
as a
series
movie to be a movie.
Yes.
Awesome.
It's an original creation.
You don't see that
every
day.
Plus, the lead actor is Idris Elba, who is freaking awesome to begin with.
Really?
And his character's name is Stacker Pentecost.
That's awesome.
That's just awesome.
Idris needs to be in more fucking movies. He really
does. And this could be the thing that, I mean, Thor got him to at least where he was visible. I mean, it's a far cry from Luther, but...
At least in Thor, he lived until the end. He has a bad habit of dying and dying early in his movies.
Oh, like Prometheus?
He
lived in Prometheus, didn't he?
He did. Prometheus, Ghost Rider,
I forgot about Ghost Rider.
Yeah, of course you did, because that movie sucks.
But anyway... So this movie is going to be fucking awesome.
John...
It also has Charlie Hunnam, who's mostly from Sons of Anarchy. It's got Charlie Day from Always Sunny in Philadelphia.
Or there's got to be somebody from True Blood in there, too. It just has to be.
I don't know. But I do know that the robots are actually driven. It's a binary system. So there's two people that are kind of acting as the brain of the robot, like the hemispheres of the brain. The voice of the computer is GLaDOS. They actually got the actress who played the voice for GLaDOS in Portal.
I recognize.
And she is the voice of the computer. It's one of those little nerd Easter egg jokes that is just so fucking great if you know. And then sometimes I'm just imagining, you know, if in a sequel the computer goes bad or something, you know.
And we get a Godzilla X Mechagodzilla situation.
But they're saying that they are going to go to the kaiju world, and they're just there's all sort and he's using the word kaiju.
Yeah, which that is alone. Awesome. No, that alone is a great step forward for
he fandom. Knows what it means.
Yes, and he uses it correctly in sentences and stuff, almost like he's an actual fucking fan and of the fucking movies that he's fucking making. Surprise.
Yeah, surprise.
But yeah, this movie is going to be far and away the best thing this summer. And it doesn't matter how good Star Trek or Superman or, you know, Hangover 3 or what, it doesn't matter how good they are. Pacific Rim is going to be better. It's just all there is to it. And yes, that's putting unapproachable hype on it. But it doesn't matter. It's just going to be awesome.
Because
I cannot wait for that movie.
But okay, discussing Pacific Rim allows me to bring up something that I wanted to bring up with you guys. Because watching the trailer, all these trailers again, I'm noticing a distinct pattern emerging. Like, how long do you guys think it'll be before before trailers stop ripping off the trailer for Inception?
Until somebody comes up with something more popular than dubstep.
But see, it's not even dubstep. It's just one drop over and over again. That's not. God, I lived with musicians and. I can see them having embolisms at the very idea of that being confused with dubstep, because it's always that one sound drop, you know, to emphasize drama. It's always that.
It'll happen eventually. All it takes is for something to do it and be successful.
At least back in the in a world. Days we had
well,
like
but that was before
narrative.
The guy died. The guy that did those.
But I'll tell you what,
Don LaFontaine. I had to stop and think about what his name was.
Yeah, that's true. Don LaFontaine, a great man who
all reason.
Yes, a great man who deserves to be more well known than he was. But still, man.
Thank you for calling movie phone.
Exactly. Yes, that's true. He was the movie phone guy. We didn't have. Movie phone out where I was, but
but anyway, we need to keep going.
No, see here, we didn't have a movie phone either. You just opened up the door and go, hey Jim, what's on at the theater house?
Yeah, pretty much. But to that I say, Peter Cullen is still alive and still a working actor, and
yep.
he did quite a lot of trailer work in the late 90s and early 2000s. He did the trailer for Batman and Robin, in fact.
Yep.
Which is where I remember him most from.
He's also Optimus Prime.
Yes. For those who don't know. Sorry, I was assuming nerd knowledge.
But anyway, the next week we have Red 2, which I liked Red, and this one is not...
Retired and extremely dangerous.
Right. And this one is not actually dependent on the Warren Ellis script, though, so who knows? Warren Ellis wrote the comic that the original movie is based on. It's a little loose as far as being based on, but it's still there. This one was not, so I don't know. It could go either way. I liked the first one. Second one, if it's more of the same, I'm kind of okay with that.
But it's the same problem as Kick-Ass 2, actually, which also changed its creative team because Matthew Vaughn and his writer slash hopefully Postle Q are off working on X-Men still.
Yeah, but Kick-Ass 2 has the plus side of having Jim Carrey playing a completely bizarre character that
yes,
Stars may actually... do a lot for reviving his acting career. Tell yet. But the other big release for the 19th of July, that's the one, is RIPD, Ripped. It's also based on a comic. It's about dead cops, basically. I'll be honest, I haven't read the original comic. I don't know tons about it. But the log line, as far as IMDb is concerned, is a recently slain cop joins a team of undead police officers working for the Rest in Peace Department and tries to find the man who murdered him.
So it's like
almost like something like a Frighteners, almost like a
little bit, yeah. But
I would say the Crow meets CSI,
kind of. But it also stars Ryan Reynolds.
Oh God,
what does
so?
Oh God, oh.
But it also has Mary Louise Parker and Kevin Bacon, and you know, it's. I mean, the cast is not terrible, it was. I mean, it definitely was done on a budget. Originally, one of the characters, one of the lead characters was, Zach Galifianakis. He had to drop. So
Ryan Reynolds.
And he had to run off to make Hangover 3.
Oh, God. So Ryan Reynolds may have been their second choice?
No, it wasn't Ryan Reynolds. It was a different character.
Okay, good.
It was Reynolds' partner, I think, that he was playing.
And Jeff Bridges, no less.
Yep.
And hey, it's a Dark Horse comic.
Yep.
By a guy.
But yeah, the comic is supposed to be very good, but I unfortunately haven't had the opportunity to read it.
It's done by...
So yet another comic movie.
Linkoff.
Why write our own stories? Let's just take one that's written.
Mr. Linkoff's notable work, according to IMDb, include the TV series Hawaii 5024, CSI in New York, and films such as Demolition Man.
And
Son-in-Law. So I'm thinking Mr. Linkoff here tried to pull a 30 Days of Night on his career and get himself a comic book that he could then spin into a successful movie that was originally
that's been happening a lot in the last
that was originally years, a so. Script that probably no one would touch because it was original IP. It wasn't based on anything, right?
Speaking of things that are based on things.
Yeah.
The next big movie on my list is The Wolverine.
Yes.
The Wolverine.
It is. Yes. They are calling it The Wolverine. It is based after X3, possibly after the Days of Future Past movie, but nobody's 100% sure what the deal is there so far.
From the preview I saw, it looked like he'd been out of it for a while.
Yeah.
Basically hibernating.
He's gone feral. Yeah.
Yes, he's gone feral. Very, very good. He hasn't trimmed his nails in years.
But the Wolverine looks like it's going to be fun. It actually, from my understanding, it does follow some of the storyline of the original Frank Miller miniseries when they first spun Wolverine off into his own comic book, which sent him to Japan.
Yeah, he's finally getting his ass to Japan.
This was before he was in every Marvel comic book on a regular basis.
Mm-hmm.
Up to this point, he was pretty much a minor character. He was popular in the X-Men comics, but hadn't really shown up anywhere else. And this is where they first kind of started putting him out on his own. And they've gone back to this story. This is also when Frank Miller was less crazy. I didn't say he wasn't crazy. I just said he was less crazy.
He'd only done one round of Sin City at that point, so his crazy was still bubbling underneath the surface.
Yeah, well, and he'd already done Daredevil at that point too, I think. But but that was a long time ago, and I don't remember how those dates shake out. But by and large, this Wolverine movie looks like it's actually going to be really good. Which go figure, right?
At first, I was not real big on Hugh Jackman playing Wolverine, but he
definitely has owned it.
Yes, he has. He represented Wolverine well.
An entire generation, except for that last movie, which this movie
I liked the last movie. I can't help it. It was fun.
What?
I still love the fact they've been talking recently that they still want to do a Deadpool movie. And Ryan Reynolds is still playing Deadpool, but apparently they want to do it as an R-rated movie, and they can't get everybody to get on board with that. But I guess the script that they have, one of the first things that happens is Deadpool comes out and says, okay, the end of that Wolverine movie was stupid.
Which
Let's just forget that happened. And which is the here I am.
First thing that should happen in any.
I don't know. Maybe I've struck that out of my memory. Was that they were fighting around the nuclear cooling tower?
Except yes. that's not Deadpool.
Right.
They completely screwed up the character of Deadpool that they had already planned on spinning off.
But guess what? Now everyone in America considers that to be Deadpool.
Ryan Reynolds is supposed to be Deadpool in that?
Yes.
Oh, shit. Actually,
the great thing about the character of Deadpool is that he can break the fourth wall. So I've always said that the first thing that needs to happen in a Deadpool movie is they need to start with the end of the Wolverine movie and then have Deadpool just walk out in front of the screen and go, okay, you guys see this? This is dumb. We're going to ignore this. And that kind of sounds like exactly what they're doing.
Yes, that did not happen. The second thing that needs to happen is he needs to fight Squirrel Girl.
Well, I don't know about that. We don't want him to lose in his own movie.
Protagonists are measured by their antagonists.
Okay, all right. What's next? We're literally at the cusp.
We're getting close, though. Smurfs 2 is the next one.
We definitely need to focus on this because it's going to make a bunch of money.
I really don't care. Neil Patrick Harris is getting a paycheck, so that makes me happy.
Yeah, good for him.
Jonathan Winters is getting a paycheck. That always makes me happy. But I'm not going to go see the movie.
Why is Jonathan Winters getting a paycheck?
He's Papa Smurf.
Oh, excellent.
The next thing I have is a movie called Two Guns, and I have misplaced my notes as to why I cared. Oh, yeah. It stars Denzel Washington and Mark Wahlberg. A DEA agent and an undercover naval intelligence officer who have been tasked with investigating one another find they have been set up by the mob, the very organization of the two men believe they have been stealing money from. So basically, it sounds very Tango and Cash,
but with Denzel and Marky Mark.
Yeah, so it could be good. At least it could be good for just going in and shutting off for a couple hours.
No, right. My mom is going to love that movie. I can already tell.
Okay.
Next, I have 300 Rise of an Empire, which we've already talked about. The next thing I have is a movie I'm really looking forward to called Elysium. It's the new Matt Damon movie, but it's written and directed by the guy that did District 9.
Okay. Yes, that sounds like fun. Yeah, you have me. I've been waiting for that.
There's not tons of information out there on it so far. Although some of it has been leaking out in little bits and pieces recently. I think it's going to be really good. The logline as far on IMDb says, set in the year 2159, where the very wealthy live on a man-made space station while the rest of the population resides on a ruined Earth, a man takes on a mission that could bring equality to the polarized worlds.
Uh-huh. That's 4 in a row. Okay.
So it sounds like it's going to be a good movie. It's written and directed by the guy by Neil Blomkamp, who did District 9, who I love freaking District 9.
Me too.
The guy from District 9 is also in the movie as one of the leads, apparently.
Nice.
Which I love that guy. That guy's great.
He's good.
The other leads are Jodie Foster and William Fichtner. So they're not doing anything wrong here so far. I'm looking forward to it. I don't know.
I'd heard about that, but I'd completely forgotten it existed.
Don't forget, you know, that's not even Matt Damon's only sci-fi movie that's out this year, because in December, Zero Theorem will be out, and that one's a fucking Terry Gilliam movie. So,
yes. I'm waiting for that one.
The next movie I have is Disney Planes, and that's the same weekend as Elysium, and we don't even need to talk about it. It's fucking planes. It's not cars, it's planes. Moving on. The next thing I have is Kick-Ass 2, which we've already talked about that because it's higher up on Dave's list.
Yes.
Next thing I have is Percy Jackson, Sea of Monsters.
Which
the first Percy Jackson movie wasn't terrible.
Based on a book series,
it's definitely aimed more at kids.
Well, let's call it what it is. It's a Harry Potter ripoff. With the Greek gods instead of wizards.
Apparently Hermes is Nathan Fillion, so.
And I'd completely forgotten the first Percy Jackson even existed. I had no idea that they were going ahead with the second one until I saw the news break.
I guess it made money, so.
I'm almost positive that it did, but I'm like, does anybody even remember that movie? The Lightning Thief? Anybody?
No. I mean, I've seen it. Nope. I saw it with my niece and nephew.
Nope.
I never seen it. At their house.
Okay. Okay, best case scenario, it's directed by Chris Columbus. It's the first one in a series of adaptions of young adult novels. So it's best case scenario, it's going to wind up being the Sorcerer's Stone of its franchise.
Right.
Well, and it's the alternative to Kick-Ass that weekend.
Which will probably
be rated R and then...
Yeah.
Oh, it's definitely rated R. One of the lead characters is named the Motherfucker, so.
yeah, that would definitely be rated R. All right, what else you got, Mike?
Just retitled himself.
What else you got?
Next thing I have is Mortal Instruments, City of Bones. I know next to nothing about this, but everybody seems to be excited.
By everybody, whom do you mean?
I don't know.
Yeah.
It's just one of those things that seems to be out there. People seem to be excited about it. I know nothing about it. I haven't looked at it at all. It's on my list just because I was reading down the list and I go, oh yeah, I've heard people talking about that. And that's why it's on the list. But it's the end of August. The other big thing that's out that weekend is the one that I'll be at, and that's The World's End, which is the Edgar Wright movie with, Simon Pegg, Nick Frost, and Martin Freeman. Mm-hmm. Because you just can't go wrong with that combination. Where a group of guys tries to recreate their epic pub crawl of 20 years ago, only to find that they have somehow become humanity's last hope.
Uh-oh.
You have Mortal Instruments on your list because it stars Lena Headey.
I do like her. She's really
Everybody likes Lil Headey.
Aw. Really?
Well, they do. Her daughter, she was a really nice girl.
Well, and she's also the queen on Game of Thrones, which means her stock has never been higher. Even when she was on Terminator, or when she was in 300, or
Sarah Connor, yes.
And then that pretty much finishes out August. The next thing I have a couple things on here for September, and that's only because it's Riddick and I Frankenstein, which I Frankenstein. Looks like it was written by the guy that created Underworld.
Well, Steve Jobs? Frankenstein?
No, but funny. No, it's written by the guy that created Underworld, Kevin Grevo, who's also in the movie. It sounds like it's Underworld if Frankenstein were to randomly walk into the movie.
So Underworld 5 at this
kind
point?
Kind of.
4?
But all we know is Frankenstein S5. Ends up in between two warring factions of monsters. The guess is that it's vampires and werewolves, but nobody knows for sure.
So it's fucking Van Helsing again. Oh God.
Frankenstein is played by Aaron Eckhart. So I like Aaron Eckhart.
Oh, okay.
He's True Blood, isn't he?
No, he's Two-Face.
He was Two-Face.
But
between that and Riddick out on September 6th, September's not a bad month either, so.
Yeah, September is a complete dead zone for me, apart from I, Frankenstein, which just because it had Frankenstein in the title, the next thing for me, I skip all the way to October when Sin City 2.
Well, I don't count October as summer, so.
Well,
I
that's
don't
true.
Count September as summer.
That's true, but we got shit for the rest of the year, basically. I mean, after that, summer is... The start of summer may be nebulous, but the end of it, I think, is almost always clearly defined. By September, by Labor Day, it's done.
Yep.
Right, which is why I put Riddick on there.
Pools are closed, summer is over.
And by then, we get, like, absolutely shit until the annual horror movie franchise milking of the dry teats, which this...
Don't forget Zero Theorem in December. We just talked about that.
Well, true, but before that, we have to get through the milking with the teats, which this half decade, I should say, means more paranormal activity. And this year...
Maybe a saw. Toss in a saw here or there.
No. Saw is over and done with. Those guys have moved on.
You think.
I know, because paranormal activity number one kicked saw number six's ass. And so that was the beginning of the end. They wrapped it up with the 3D, and everyone's moved on. No, instead we get Paranormal Activity, another goddamn shit-sucking remake of a classic film in the horror genre. In that case, Carrie.
Honestly, I'm kind of excited for this new Carrie movie. The new trailer's out, and it looks really good.
They made a TV version, and they've done Carrie.
They made The Rage, Carrie 2. Does anyone else remember that? Some of us took our high school girlfriends to The Rage, Carrie 2.
Well, that was just a dumb idea.
And we did, we did not get any action afterwards.
Guys, the Super Summer Special Extravaganza has come to a close.
On that horrific
The pool's been drained. The canoes have all been, you know, stacked up onto the shelves and the carts.
The counselors have been brutally slaughtered.
Brutally slaughtered, and the bunks have been mothballed. Remember, we're the Traumatic Cinematic Show. Find us at TC Podcast Crew.
On Twitter.
Thank you for listening, folks. Have a good evening.
I'm on the internet.